2 Corinthians 12. I want to get back to this moment thing about this, like, not moment like time, but moment like mathematical moment. It's the razor's edge, the point in which a believer is to live, and it's the knife edge between soul and spirit. And that definition, that's why Christ, he didn't say these words lightly. Take no thought for tomorrow. Take no thought for your life. Because that's the only way you can live in weakness on that edge. And it's not, you can't hear this as this is what you should do in order to be saved, or this is what you ought to do. You got to hear it as the most incredible point of freedom there is in the universe. So that you don't. And to the natural mind, it sounds calloused. I mean, most of you know me well enough to know that I really don't think what anybody, I don't care what anybody thinks of me. I'm not afraid of any man on the face of the earth. I don't care. There's nothing that can induce me to do something or other. But that's you too. Do you understand? What I am, you are. What Christ is, we are. And I want you to find the joy of living in that moment. And it doesn't matter where you are in the world. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter the condition you're in. You don't have to change anything to live on that moment. Except your mind. And that by that act, you're transfigured by the renewing of your mind. I know the bondage it must be to continue to worry about self and worry about tomorrow and worry about security. I mean, it's got to be, it's just, no. We own all things. How can you be concerned with security? All things exist for your sake. How can you be concerned about somebody's response to you? It's kind of silly.
I hear you, okay? I don't need you to say.
He felt it coming, didn't he?
And I can see now why I don't bring what happened to the apartment here. To me, showing the weakness here means that I won't be, I believe that it won't be, I won't be accepted.
That's what Ed thought.
And I see through what happened with Mike today that that's not true.
Okay.
Yeah, this is not me complaining.
I'm not going to get to talk about what I wanted to talk about.
Well, you say
I didn't
things.
Want to talk about anything that we've talked about this far.
You say stuff, and then you say, did anybody hear that? Did anybody react? Have a reaction?
You're 30 minutes late, you know, we're just fine.
Yeah, we waited. No, it wasn't.
We'll stay till.
But I'm thinking, all my life, people told me, other than what you've said, all my life people gave me advice and said, you got to do this, you got to think ahead, you got to plan ahead, blah, 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 blah. And first of all, it didn't work. Second of all, I was getting advice from people who were failures themselves. I mean, I'm not knocking them, I'm not putting them down. But I mean, their lives were failures. They had miserable lives. And they were giving me what they thought was good advice, what they thought would work, but it was wrong. And it was like, when I was 14, nobody told me that I owned all things. Nobody told me.
Daddy asked you this one time.
Wait a minute, are you done?
I guess it's no wonder that it's difficult. And I realize I'm really not complaining. I mean, it's great, but I'm also glad that our kids at 4 and 9 and 15 are hearing the truth. Because I heard, you know, I heard lies for 40 years.
Okay.
They weren't, well, you know.
Doug asked you one time what was emotion. What did you tell him?
What was emotion?
Uh-huh.
Molten idolatry.
That's pretty clear.
Either gold, silver, or brass. And it's been molded in the fires, and so we call it emotion, but it's just an idolatry of feeling as opposed to an idolatry of intellect. Either for gold, for goals, for silver, for redemption, or brass, for judgment.
Say the gold again. Gold.
Goals, or purpose.
Goals.
And ideas, or opinions, are graven images that are carved on the wall of your mind. Both of them are idolatry. And all of those graven images, all of those idols, have to be marred by life before you can hear the gospel.
Yeah.
But what's funny is...
Otherwise.
No, you got most. You got 70 little guys up there. It's your board of elders. And you go through the day, and about 14 of those idols are marred, and they're up there polishing them up and fixing them before you wake up the next morning.
We'll get it fixed for tomorrow. I wake up and catch it.
Yeah.
I can hear them in there. I can. I can hear them. 3-4 o'clock in the morning.
There it's the roaches. Gary's roaches. They like
I can hear them.
The roaches have all run in.
But that's what they're doing. The molten ones, the emotional images. They are really ugly.
Well, I didn't get much sleep last night and had to get up early this morning, and I sat down this afternoon just to sit, and I turned on the TV, and there's this movie called Country. And I cried over this stupid thing, and I'm thinking, wait a minute, something is very wrong here. And
it's because something there touched one of your eyeballs. Okay, 2 Corinthians 12, let's go to 11, verse 30. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The word infirmities there is easily translated, better translated as weaknesses. If I'm going to glory in anything, I'm going to glory in my weakness, is what he's saying. You got it? The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. And I don't want to read any more of that. And 12. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether he in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory. Yet of myself I will not glory, but in my weaknesses. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet at me, lest I be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Actually, that, see, in the better translations, thrice means 33,000. I'm just kidding. Well, because I've, my little thorns here, I've besought the Lord 4,000 times, and so, anyway.
Okay.
Shut up. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, you know what the thorn in Paul's flesh was?
I know what it was in Luther's flesh.
Huh?
I know what it was in Luther's flesh.
There's people, the Harry and Sherry were around him, these airy people.
He didn't like my comment.
My grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. And in the Greek, the tense is, my strength is made perfect in purposed weakness. That's what emptying is. It's a big deal. It's probably the single most important scripture right here in the Bible. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. My strength is made perfect in weakness, purposed weakness. How rare is it for you to be in a state of purposed weakness? You wonder why you haven't seen the power of God resting on you? How often have you filled the temple with self, and therefore there's no room for God in your temple?
Yeah, clearly that was true when he walked in the flesh.
All right. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities or weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Understand a little bit? When I am weak, then am I strong. 1 Timothy 6. He's talking about false teachers. And in verse 3 it says, if any man teach otherwise, well, let me start. Let as many servants or workers as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters or bosses, let them not despise them, because they are brethren, but rather do them service. And the word service there is latri, which means it's as though it's a technical word for the service in the temple. And in fact, I think it's limited to the temple in the Holy of Holies. So if you're working for someone, but rather let them do service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. No. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, where cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. Isn't that really what you believe? I mean, I know you believe it. I know when everything's going your way, then you're convinced that God is in his heaven and all is right with the earth. But in that, and in the moment, some little, you get a little hangnail. There's no such thing as God. Maybe there is, I don't know. No, but that's what he says by his actions.
I've gotten worse.
Huh?
I've gotten worse, not better. I've gotten worse.
I know. You're telling me? It's digital, see? Yes, all your life you're taught analog, you know. That.
When I switch off now, man, it's terrible.
That's right. Supposing that gain is godliness, isn't that what you really think? Aren't you convinced that that God is good and your things are going your way, Sherry?
Yes.
Supposing that gain is godliness. Do you want to hear what he says next?
No.
Not really.
Supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself.
Well, so much for every church I've ever stepped into.
But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Can you feel that for a minute? Just having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Climb up in the raft. Stop swimming. Live in that moment. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich, or will to be rich, is what that says, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows.
He weakness. Does ugly things sometimes.
I feel like I need to read something. Remember this? I read this before, this prophecy that this woman sent. The Spirit of God, this remember, this was sent to me after the Primetime Live program, right? And I want you to hear it again, but I want you to hear it in the context of what weakness really means. Okay?
And what was that in Corinthians we started off with in weakness? Second Corinthians
chapter 12.
12.
The Spirit of God would say to you that the wind of the Holy Spirit is blowing through your land. The church is incapable of fully recognizing this wind. Just as your nation has given names to its hurricanes, so I have put my name on this wind. This wind shall be named holiness unto the Lord. Because of a lack of understanding, some of my people will try to find shelter from the wind, but in doing so they shall miss my work. For this wind has been sent to blow through every church that names my name. It shall blow through every institution that has been raised in my name. And those institutions that have substituted their name for mine, they shall fall by the impact of my wind. Those institutions shall fall like a cardboard shack in a gale. Ministries that have not walked in uprightness before me shall be broken and fall. And for this reason, man will be tempted to brand this wind as a work of Satan. But do not be misled. This is my wind. I cannot tolerate my church in its present form, nor will I tolerate it. Ministries and organizations will shake and fall in the face of this wind, and even though some will seek to hide, they shall not escape. It shall blow against your lives, and all around you will appear to be crumbling. And so it shall, but never forget, this is my wind, saith the Lord. With tornado force it will come and appear to leave devastation. But the word of the Lord comes and says, turn your face into the wind and let it blow. For only that which is not of me shall be devastated. And you must see this is necessary. But be not dismayed, for after this my wind shall blow again. Have you not read how my breath blew on the valley of dry bones? So it shall breathe on you. This wind shall come in a force equal to the first wind. This wind too will have a name. It shall be called the kingdom of God. It shall bring my power. The supernatural shall come in that wind. The world will laugh at you because of the devastation of that first wind. But they will laugh no more, for this wind will come with force and power that will produce the miraculous among my people, and the fear of God shall fall upon the people. My people will be willing in the day of my power, saith the Lord. The first wind that is upon you now, I will blow out pride, lust, greed, competition, and jealousy, and you will feel devastated. But haven't you read, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven? So out of your emptiness of spirit will I establish my kingdom. Have you not read the kingdom of God is in the Holy Ghost? So by my spirit my kingdom will be established and made manifest. Know this also, there will be those who shall seek to hide from this present wind, and they will try to flow with the second wind, but they will be blown away by it. Only those who have turned their faces into the present wind shall be allowed to be propelled by the second wind. You have longed for revival and a return to the miraculous. You and your generation shall see it, but it shall only come by my process, saith the Lord. The church cannot contain my power in its present form, but as it turns to the wind of the holiness of God, it shall be purged and changed to contain my glory. This is judgment that has begun at the house of God, but it is not the end. When the second wind has come and brought in my harvest, then shall the end be. Love that. But it's out of the emptiness.
Did you say that was an anonymous letter?
No.
Did it was signed?
No, it was by a woman. Anybody, I don't feel like talking anymore. Anybody have anything else?